All right, back here inside Ivy Hoops, it's now time to go to the expert hotline, and we now go to Ivy women's action as the Yale Bulldogs coming off a big win last weekend as they defeated Brown 77-63 in New Haven. They'll be at Brown this Friday evening in Providence, 5:30 tip-off. And joining us on the line is the third-year head coach of Yale, Allison Guth, joining us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited about the season and appreciate all the coverage you guys are doing for our league and for our women's basketball players. It's much deserved, and thank you for having me.
Well, we're happy you're here, Coach. And before we talk about your huge win over Brown, I kind of just want to take it back. And if you can tell our listeners a little bit about your non-conference. I mean, you played two Big 12 opponents. You played Kansas really close. You upset TCU. You played Indiana close. So can you talk about just the method behind that scheduling and how that prepared your team for the Ivy League?
Sure, Jill. You know, it's pretty simple. We just kind of have a philosophy here that we feel like in order to be the best, you got to play the best. And I think that the opportunity to play talented teams not only helps your own squad get better and prepared for the Ivy season, but it also helps our league as a whole get the RPI and recognition that we're looking for. So we always try to base our non-conference schedule around our players that we're able to recruit. It's just one of our one of our priorities to bring our players home to play in front of their home crowds. And so we were bringing a kid back to Kansas, and we have two on our roster from Texas. And so that's kind of how those trips came about in playing those two opponents. I was happy with the effort we gave at Kansas, but felt like we let it go down the stretch. We ended up having a player get injured that game in the third quarter. That changed the momentum a little bit of that game, but I gave a lot of credit to Kansas and some adjustments they made in their zone. And then it was really exciting to see our team respond the way they did at TCU, who's playing really strong basketball, especially now having, beat Texas and West Virginia, two top 15 opponents. But at the time we were playing them, we had a lot of respect for Amber Ramirez, who's a terrific guard in the Big 12, and as well as their post players. And I thought that we had a really good game plan coming in. Our kids were confident, they executed, and it was a pretty special game for us on the road. Indiana was a game that we had on our schedule, finishing a home and home from our first year here. And Tyra Buss is a fantastic player in that league, and getting her in our own home gym was an exciting experience for us. Again, give a lot of credit to Indiana and their coaching staff for having their kids well prepared against some of our pressure defensive principles and those things. But we weren't able to come out with a win, and I'm happy that we responded the way we did in the start of Ivy play. We've had a challenging non-conference season. Did okay, in my opinion, but fell short a little bit coming back after the break in our postseason, post-holiday tournament at Fordham. So I was happy the way we were able to respond against Brown.
Did it leave? I know that, Brown kind of edged your spot. They edged you to get to the inaugural tournament. Not to bring that up, but and you guys were playing just so well towards the end of last year. You won four of your last five games. Did that kind of give your players a kind of chip on the shoulder going into that off season and then into the preseason?
Yeah, you know what, Jill? It's for us. We kind of try to prepare with a concept of respecting all and fearing none, and with our opponents. And I just have a tremendous amount of respect for Sarah and her coaching staff and how she prepares their team. And we have a lot of similar principles in trying to push the ball in our transition offense and trying to put points on the board with a free-flowing offense. And I think they do it the best in the league. And so we have a lot of respect for what they bring to the table. I think, our kids were obviously hungry, given that we fell short last year in the inaugural tournament, trying to fight our way into that. But I think each season has a life of its own, and having fresh new perspective, knowing that Brown obviously picked to be in that tournament preseason. We try to talk about it being about the review, not the preview, and trying to perform each day, like it's our last opportunity to be on the floor. And I think that's what we did. We came back after break and had a tough game against UC Davis, who is the leader in their Big West Conference. And then Hartford played us a great game, pressured us, and I didn't think we played very good basketball. And so we had a nice 12-day period where we were able to refocus, and that's the longest we've gone. We went 11 days in a row where our kids were in the gym, and we really focused on the areas of improvement, and I think that that's what we were able to do against Brown was come out and show that there's no real, you know, substitute for work ethic and getting in the gym, getting shots up, and refocusing on what our goals were.
Allison Guthy, head coach of Yale women's basketball, joining us here on Inside Ivy Hoops. And, Coach, one thing that stands out for me with your team is being able to win on the road, 5-1 away from New Haven. And just from the outside looking in, do you believe that's kind of a character builder for a team, being able to win those tough games away from your home gym? And then, obviously, this Friday, being away in Providence, going up against Brown again. Just talk about the success you've had on the road.
Sure, Brett, absolutely. I think being road warriors, you know, when you think about, you know, what's going to get you in postseason play, you got to win the ones in your own gym and win the ones on the road, a couple of pickoffs where you should. And I think that being able to, you know, perform on the road gives your kids a confidence just of what they're able to do when they step out of the comfort zones of their own gym. And that's obviously vitally important. I think, you know, we've historically, since I've been here at least, have not played some of our best games at Brown. I think that it, for us, we get to turn around and play them right back to back and get on the road. And I just think in this league, it's so important to, you know, to obviously be prepared, you know, to do so. And so I think our kids got a little bit of a more of a chip on their shoulder about that we haven't really stepped in there and played what we call beautiful Bulldog basketball. And so it's something that we're very focused on heading into this weekend, because we know Brown's going to be ready to obviously shoot the ball a lot better than they did in our gym. And they always play hard in their gym.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Coach, what in terms of game plan, I mean, Brown averages 10 made threes a game, and they only made five in your game. You know, they shot 38%, 17% from three. You know, Shayna Mehta, 5 of 17. Justine Gaziano, 5 of 10. You know, can you talk about how your defense was able to, you know, hold one of the best offensive teams in the Ivy League to that percentage?
Sure. I think for us, we understand where they get their threes is very different in how you defend them. And in my opinion, having scouted them, we were able to hold them to their season low, I believe, last year in our gym, the same as you know, as this year. I feel like this is, I think it was their season low. I think they average 82 and they hit 63 against us. I just think they're a very tempo oriented team. And so in order to defend them, they really like to push and transition. And if you could take some of that away, they can't get it into the rhythm of their offense as much. And so that was our focus going in, that transition defense was going to be the biggest goal. And if we were able to defend them and make this more of a game where they had to score in the front court versus the back court pushing scenarios, that we'd be doing our job. And that's, I think we were able to execute that.
Well, going into this contest, Coach, it's the top two highest scoring offensive teams, Brown number one and then your team at number two. But you have three out of the top 10 scorers in the Ivy League wear the Yale jersey, and Tamara Simpson, Jen Berkowitz, and then Roxy Baraman. It must be nice to have that firepower. And any given night, we've seen all three of those players have had their night. And just, you know, describe to us the offense and what it's like to have those three scorers going strong for you early on.
Absolutely, Brett. You know, for us, I think you look at any team, and when you find an opportunity to have multiple players in double digits, and that's what we were able to do against Brown, our first go around, have four players, including in her freshman debut of an Ivy opener, Ellen Margaret was able to score in double figures for us as well. It makes you a really tough team to guard. And so we're very attack oriented in terms of our offense. So we want to take you off the bounce. We want to score from beyond the arc. We haven't really done a great job consistently from beyond the arc, but we know we can get to the rim and essentially get to the free throw line. We want to be the aggressor in our games. And so I think any time that you're able to score on the interior as well as the perimeter, it's going to open up opportunities for both of your players, perimeter and interior-wise. So I think with Berkowitz, she just like she saw the first time Brown played us a box and one in the second half and in the third quarter particularly, and triple and double teamed her. I think we'll see a lot of that in the Ivy League, and so we're prepared and in terms of getting our players prepared about how important it is to ease that relief by good kickouts and perimeter play, and vice versa. If our perimeter can score and we draw some of those defenders out of the paint, it's going to open up opportunities for Berkowitz to work on the inside. I think Tamara, you know, the thing that's special about her is that she's creating a lot of her offensive opportunities from her defensive tenaciousness. And obviously, I think she's third in the country right now, leading in steals. And she obviously puts our team in some pretty great positions, being able to both anticipate the passes and play on ball pressure the way that she does. And she's able to create that way. And then Roxy for us, you know, more impressive than the 17-7 that she had as far as Brown the first go around was the six assists that created 15 points for us. So I think she's understanding her vital role within our attack offense, how she can really create for her teammates as well as create open shots for herself.
I mean, Tamara Simpson, is her instinct, is that something you can teach, or is she born with that? I mean, she had 8 steals
Jill,
versus Brown.
I take zero credit for that.
I feel bad for the guards. I mean, when she's at the top of your zone, it's just like, you know, she's just waiting for it.
It's really hard to describe. It's really hard to describe until you see it live, you know, how she anticipates and just how quick her hands are, because you can play against the kid every day in practice like our players do and still get picked off and get so frustrated. She's just a really talented, talented defender in that way. And I think she's playing with a sense of purpose and a real sincere, consistent fight this year, which has been really refreshing for us to see coming in. She had a very strong sophomore season. I felt like she took her foot off the pedal a little bit her junior year when we were talking just from an offensive perspective and having that kind of consistent grit about herself. And I just think she's matured so much into a senior leader for us, being vocal in practice, being vocal along the sidelines. She's the first person to go into a timeout and tell people what's unacceptable and what we've got to fix. And I just think that says a lot about her. So she's been, it's really, we step off the floor a lot of nights, and I think she's one of the best players in the gym. And we've played a tough schedule, so a lot of credit to her. She's really talented.
Final question on my end, Coach. Looking at your background, very interesting background. You were a 3-time letter winner at Illinois. You walked on, and then you earned a scholarship to finish off your career. And then I find it interesting, your coaching career kind of kept you in the Chicago area, UIC, off to DePaul, and then obviously the stint at Missouri, and then you had a stint at Yale as well. You've kind of got your travels in here over the past couple of years, but have you become accustomed to the East Coast nowadays? I know you're a Chicago person, but have you become accustomed to the East Coast now?
I'll tell you what, Brett, I think the whole walk-on experience and, yeah, my experience at University of Illinois playing for Hall of Famer Teresa Grenz was a really unique and special one. She was a phenomenal coach, and I think, the time I got to sit on that bench and watch basketball was my opportunity where I fell in love with coaching it. I have been really fortunate. I started actually at Loyola University of Chicago, and it was for a coach that – was a high school coach that I had met through my high school playing days and worked some coaching clinics with, and she was my first opportunity to get into it, and I really never turned back. It was something I was really passionate about. I left school with an academic background in business and ended up moving to Denver, Colorado to work for Coca-Cola North America, this Fortune 500 company. And at the end of the day, I was like, what am I doing with my life? I've got this opportunity to either teach the youth of America or keep coking up the world one smile at a time. And I decided I was going to turn in the company car and cell phone for a bike and ride around Chicago trying to find recruits. And so that's the decision I made. That was one of the best decisions in my life. I've been very fortunate to work for some incredible mentors, including Doug Bruno at DePaul, like you mentioned, and Joe McEwen at Northwestern, and Chris Gobrek gave me my start here at Yale, my first taste of what the Ivy League is like. But I'm really I have fallen in love with not just the East Coast, but the league in general, the opportunity it provides student athletes and their families. And when you talk about a world-class experience from an academic, athletic, and, you know, social perspective, it's next to none. So I feel very blessed to be leading our young women here.
So are you a big Chicago sports fan?
A huge, huge Chicago sports fan. So obviously I'm of the age where obviously, you know, championship Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan with the Pippen era, BJ Armstrong, John Paxson. We're talking like old school Bulls hoops, and it was just amazing.
So MJ over LeBron, right? MJ over LeBron?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not even a question.
We all agree on that, then.
We're LeBron haters on this podcast.
I love it. Absolutely. No, that's it. And I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. My dad grew up on the South Side, so he's a Sox fan, but we all grew up as huge Chicago Cubs fans, having lived on the North Side. So that was an incredible experience, obviously, supporting them. And at our last class day here at Yale, I had the good fortune of getting to meet Theo Epstein. He was our class day speaker, and talk about a guy who lives up to all of your expectations. That was one of those people that you've always wanted to meet, and such a leader in so many regards. He was just tremendous. So big time Chicago fan.
Well, Coach, before we let you go, we like to end this podcast on asking you some non-basketball related questions.
I love it.
So I like to call it rapid fire. So I'm just gonna, you know, throw some questions at you, and you can answer them as honestly as you can.
So, I'm starting to sweat over here. I'm nervous.
In the hot seat. Okay. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Passionate.
How would your team describe you in one word?
Passionate.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
Ooh. Am I getting timed on this?
No.
My biggest
we
pet
can
peeve.
We can move on.
Okay, my biggest pet peeve, I'm trying to think of this. I don't like when people eat with their mouths open.
Okay, that works. Favorite pizza topping?
Cheese. I'm so boring.
Last song you listened to?
Ooh, it was a big, gigantic song, and I think it was called Get Out.
Favorite emoji?
The crying face. Like laughing so hard you're crying, not sad face crying.
And last one, favorite Netflix show?
Oh, man, I've got some really good ones. Okay, there's this new one I just watched, and it was called Mantis, like Praying Mantis. It's in a different language. It's a thriller.
Awesome. Well, we put that on there so Brett and I can, you know. Go check them out. So we're going to hold you to that.
It's really good.
Allison Guthy, head coach of Yale women's basketball. They'll visit Brown Friday evening, 5:30 tip off. Of course, that'll be on the Ivy League Network. Coach, best of luck, and thank you so much for the time. We had fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for hosting me.